Take your Bibles and turn along with me, and we're going to study mostly out of Psalms 103 today, which was our scripture reading. Hardly a week goes by that I don't get someone asking me, well, do you think I could be forgiven of my sin? And it'll be a variety of different types of sins, but they're convinced that their particular sin was so grievous that God couldn't possibly want to forgive them. Or the questions related to that might be, how can I know I've been forgiven? And again, the person really can't let go of their sin or the guilt they feel over the sin, but they're looking back and saying, yeah, I know technically God said he forgives me. How do I know? And there's also the question that I live in fear that I might have overlooked something. And God's going to condemn me for something that I didn't realize I was doing wrong. And at the core of each of these questions is the same misunderstanding about the nature of God. Because the person is looking at God as being harsh and unrelenting, just waiting for someone to slip up so that he can be removed. There's no trust or remembrance of God's love. In Hebrews chapter 6, before we get into Psalms 103, Hebrews chapter 6, in the early part of that chapter, the writer there talks about people who have fallen away, who've gone back into sin after being rescued from their sins. And in verse 4 he says, for in the case of those who had once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So the writer wants us to understand there are people that can go back into sin so far that it's hard, if not impossible, to draw them back. But the writer also wants us to understand the problem is not on God's side. Because right after this, in verse 9, he said, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we're speaking in this way. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work, and the love that you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. God is not willing that any should perish. In fact, the reason the world continues is a testament to God's patience. Think about that. The world's been going on for quite a while now. God at any moment can just say, okay, that's it. That's enough. But today's still happening. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The reason why this world continues is so there's opportunity for people to change. Because God's goal is not to destroy everyone, though he's willing and will be able to do so when those who don't change. God's goal, though, is to save as many as he can. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 18, There's a passage that's so very clear about this. In Ezekiel 18, starting with verse 21. Ezekiel 18, verse 21, it says, "But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, and observes all my statutes, and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions which he had committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live?" God's not sitting there waiting to destroy people. He is waiting for people to come out of their sins so he might rescue them. David looked at his relationship with God, and he found that to be a cause to sing praises to God. And that's what we're going to look at today, is Psalms 103. I won't have time because I looked at it and wrote out my notes and decided that I'm going to have to do this in two parts because there's too much material here to cover in one brief time. But in Psalm 103, David wrote a poem, a song, about God and the fact that he saved us. And it caused him to sing out in praise. This is an interesting psalm. This is one of the ones that, if you count the number of verses, you'll find that there happens to be 22. We talked about this in the past. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And yes, this poem is an acrostic. The first verse starts with Aleph. The next one starts with Bet. The next one's Gimel. Goes down through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it starts out with David singing and looking at his praise. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." This is not just a, "Hey God, I'm glad you're there," type of blessing. David is trying to express he wants every ounce of his being to sing praise to God. And he starts out, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is the benefits that God gives us. In verse 2 through 5, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." We try to, actually we try not to, but so often we forget to keep in mind why we became children of God in the first place. Those statements that I mentioned at the beginning, those fears that people have, isn't the reason why we became children of God because God offered us salvation from our sins? Over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. Romans 5 verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How much love did God have for his people? That while we were against him, while we were acting as his enemies, he did what was necessary so that we might be saved. God demonstrated his love toward us. Passages a lot of people can quote in John 3:16. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God went out of his way to save us. He showed us love. He initiated it. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And that's what we need to keep in mind. God loved us first. When we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it. In fact, we're doing everything basically that we did against God. God loved us. How should we respond to that? David said, bless my Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that was in me, because he pardons us from all our iniquities. The Lord has the power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again in 1 John, this time in chapter 1, and in verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there a sin that someone has committed that cannot be forgiven from God's viewpoint? The answer is no. There is no sin which God cannot forgive or is unwilling to forgive. If a sin is unforgiven, it is because of man, not God. Man who will not let go of his sin, or who will not humble himself before his God. Take a look at Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, and verse 17, Paul says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. We might have gotten ourselves trapped. We might have sold ourselves into sin. But God saved us. In Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 8. Hebrews 5, verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Therein lies the key. Our willingness to submit to God and to obey what he teaches. And God will forgive us of all our sins. And that invitation is open to every person. In Revelation 22, right near our end of our Bibles, Revelation 22 and verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride says, come. And the one who hears says, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. The invitation is wide open. God cleanses us from all our iniquities. And is open to everyone. Isn't that a cause to bless the Lord? But not only that, David goes on and says, who heals all our diseases. Now, physical maladies are not probably what was foremost in David's mind. While God did design the human body and provides us with health from diseases, and when we pray to him, he intervenes on our behalf. But I believe what David here in Psalm 103 is referring to is recovery from the consequences of our sins. Because our sins damage us. Take a look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38, and we're going to start with verse 1. Psalm 38, starting with verse 1, it says, O Lord, rebuke me, not in thy wrath, and chasten me not in thy burning anger. For thine arrows have sunk deep into me, and thy hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head, and as a burden they are weighed too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation in my heart. David understood the effect of sin, how it destroys that person. But God provides us a cure. In Psalm 107, starting with verse 17, it says, fools, because of their rebellious way, and because their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. We make messes of our lives with all the sins that we commit. And God heals us. He turns all those messes around, straightens them up. He relieves us of the mental anguish that we oftentimes inflict on ourselves. Now take a look at Psalm 147 and in verse 3. Psalm 147 and in verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isn't that also a cause to bless the Lord? Pardon our iniquities, healed all our diseases. And David says, who redeems your life? Because we sold ourselves into sin. In Romans again, this time chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, and sold into bondage of sin. We gave ourselves over to sin. We just sold ourselves completely. Put ourselves into slavery. And in verse 24, he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Because we sold ourselves in, we can't free ourselves. And worse is the fact that we got nothing in return for what we sold ourselves for. We sold ourselves into sin for nothing. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52 and in verse 3. Isaiah 52 verse 3. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. We just gave ourselves away, got nothing out of it, but heartaches, troubles, afflictions, And God said, I'll buy you back. But I'm not going to pay money for it. God did buy us back. But he paid an unimaginable price. Because he bought us back with the blood of his own son. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. How much should we appreciate the depths of God's love? That he would be willing to buy back a bunch of foolish people who sold their way, sells away from nothing. And he bought us back with the, basically the most valuable thing that he possessed. Can we see why David's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is in me, bless the Lord? But it goes beyond that. Because David says, who crowned you? As if the aforementioned were not enough, God has given us a crown of glory. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. James describes it in James chapter 1. And in verse 12, James 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who preserves under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God's going to crown us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4 verse 8, in the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. Can you imagine? Not only being cleansed of our sins, healed of our diseases, bought with an incredible price, but God's going to crown us with glory, life, righteousness. God in his mercy and his compassion has invited you and I to reign with him. Think of the imagery that's presented in Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation chapter 3 verse 21, it says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Can you imagine the privilege of that? To be invited to climb up and sit down with God on his own throne? And there are some people that wonder whether God would possibly forgive them of their sins. Wonder if there might be something hidden that they forgot about, that God's going to keep from them until judgment day. We need to bless the Lord with all our soul, with everything in us. Because David goes on to say, who satisfies you. An exact translation of that first part of Psalm 103 verse 5 is disputed. Because it contains two ideas that are kind of different in English. It contains the idea that God satisfies the desire. Or brings also satisfaction through our years. And it's kind of hard to translate because we don't have a word that kind of crosses those two ideas. But especially since the last half of that verse talks about our youth, we ought to look at that as probably more towards our years. The idea is that even as we grow older, we get younger on the inside. Take a look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92, and in verse 13. Psalm 92, verse 13. Actually, we'll start with verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Oh, sure, our bodies decay as we get older. But it doesn't have to affect our spirits. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40, and in verse 31, says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weary. Not only does God heal us, crowns us, he brings us energy to our lives. The outward man decays, but the inward man is renewed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And that's because God's taking care of us. God sings to our needs. He satisfies us with goodness. Going back to Psalms, this time Psalm 65, and in verse 4, Psalm 65, and in verse 4, it says, how blessed is the one who does, thou dost choose and bring near to thee to dwell in thy courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. God brings us satisfaction. God brings us so that we feel complete. And there's really nothing else we need. In Psalm 104, Psalm 104 and verse 28. Psalm 104 verse 28 says, thou dost give them, they gather it up. Thou dost open thy hand, they are satisfied with good. And in Psalm 107, verse 9. Psalm 107 verse 9, it says, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul. And the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. God supplies all our needs. This idea that we grow old and we get cranky, that's not for the child of God. Because he looks back on his life and sees that he's been blessed all his life. And so when we look at Psalm 103, maybe we can understand a little bit better David's reaction. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." We ought to be appreciative of what God has done for us, not sitting in fear, waiting for the next shoe to drop to say that God's going to condemn me. God's gone out of His way to show His love. It's part of His nature. It's not an excuse that we can go off and do sin and do whatever we want, but it's ought to understand and appreciate how much God loves us. We have an opportunity this morning, if there's anyone who is not yet a child of God, there is time right now to become one, to do as God has commanded of us, to believe in Him, to repent of our sins, to confess that He is our Lord, to wash away our sins in baptism. If there's anyone here is a child of God, like the prayers of the brethren on the behalf also, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song Selected.